Angels are rejoicing in heaven. There's a party happening in heaven because God's children have come home. So sing with all your heart, worship Him.
Oh, it's your breath in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. I pour out our praise. It's your breath in my lungs. So I pour out our praise.
Your breath in us. Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you because none of us is here by chance, but we're here by appointment. Holy Spirit, speak to everyone. Father, as there's rejoicing in heaven, down here we're rejoicing too. And we say thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen, amen. Look at the person next to you and say, let everything that has breath. Do you know what? Say it like you mean it, like you've got breath. Say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And my prayer for you, my prayer for myself, this is Inhale 2018, a night of worship. But my prayer is that not only would we be at a night of worship, but we would be part of an eternity of worship. You know, in Revelations 4, I love Revelations 4, it gives a glimpse of worship in heaven. And I encourage you, when you get back home, read the whole chapter. It talks about God on the throne room and how awesome it is. Somebody said today that your worship is your response to God's awesomeness. And you see that in Revelations 4. And it talks about the four living creatures. It says they don't rest day and night. They're just saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's heaven. That's a glimpse. And my prayer is, I love how we've worshipped, how we've jumped, how we've danced. But my prayer for you is that in eternity, it would be an eternity of worship for you in Jesus' name. That we would join those living creatures. We would join the 24 elders. It says the 24 elders, they cast off their crowns. They bow down and they worship. I pray that we will be counted among them in Jesus' name. A night of worship. You know, worship speaks about adoration, extreme adoration, extreme devotion to something. And everyone worships someone or something. So the question is not, will you worship? The question is, who will you worship or what would you worship? Some people worship themselves. Some people worship power, career, people, sex, name it. Because every human being has a void in them that I call a God void. And everybody is looking to fill that void. And people try and chase all sorts to fill that void until you meet God, like some of our brethren have done today. Nothing else can satisfy or fill that void. You might say you worship God. I might say I worship God. But worship is not just a night. Worship is a lifestyle. So if you want to know who I really worship, if you want to know who you really worship, check your time, check your resources, check your energies, check your passions. Where are you pouring them into? That is what you worship. That is who you worship. So I want to encourage us tonight. Let's go back and let's examine ourselves. Let's make sure that we are worshiping God. And for people that have accepted Jesus tonight, make it a life of worship. Be crazy about God. Stir up that love. Wake up in the morning. I love David, the psalmist. He says that, you know, he stays up during the night watches. Why? He wants to meditate on God's word. He wants to love on God. A lifestyle of worship. I look in the Bible and I see what happens when we worship. I was one of those people that was very excited about Inhale. And some of the things that happen when we worship, I thought I would share a few of them. The first one is a story that we see in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. Matthew 8, 2. It's the story of a leopard. And the Bible says this leopard, he goes to Jesus and he worships Jesus. And then he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And I love what Jesus did. Matthew 8, 2. The Bible says that Jesus said, yes, I'm willing. But Jesus did something awesome. Jesus touched him. Now, this guy was a leopard. Leopards were ostracized. They were excluded from society. In fact, they tell us that leopards had to have bells around them so that when they're coming, regular folks know that a leper is coming and everybody moves away. Nobody had touched this guy since he had been declared a leopard. If anyone had touched him, it would have been a fellow leopard. Jesus healed in many ways. Jesus didn't have to touch him to heal him. Jesus sent his word and healed people. But Jesus touched him. Why? Because in the place of worship, God envelopes us with his love. In the place of worship, those places where we are hurting, those places that no one knows about, those places where our hearts are broken, those places where we feel excluded and ostracized, God embraces us in his love. And I pray today that as you have worshipped, as you carry on worship, as you continue with a lifestyle of worship, that God would embrace you, that you would feel his everlasting arms always around you. What else happened to this leopard? This leopard, he was a leopard when he went and he worshipped and Jesus touched him. But when he got up from his worship, guess what? The impossible had happened. Leprosy had gone. In the place of worship, hopeless situations are turned around. Nobody could help that guy. The doctors could not help him. No one. It was a life sentence. But Jesus, he worshipped and his life changed. As you worship, hopeless situations would turn around in Jesus' name. Another one that we see, again, someone who went to Jesus, Matthew 9:18. The Bible tells us in Matthew 9:18 about a ruler that went to Jesus. And this ruler goes to Jesus and he worships. And what was his issue? His daughter was dead. I mean, dead is dead. If something is dead. It's the end. It's finished. But he went to Jesus and he worshipped and Jesus went with him and things turned around. The dead came alive. The place of worship is where dead things come alive. It might be a career, it might be a situation in your life, it might be a relationship with a parent, with a sibling, it might be something that looks so dead. But dead things come alive in the place of worship. As you worship, those things that are dead in your life that should be alive, they would come alive in Jesus' name. I say to myself, why do dead things come alive in the place of worship? Jesus is life. When I worship, I'm drawing close to God. And God said, when you draw close to him, what happens? He says, he draws close to you. And Jesus is life. So the dead cannot stay dead in his presence. So dead things come alive. I pray that dead things would indeed come alive in your life in Jesus' name. I love this story, this next one, Mark 5:6. Because every time I read it, I marvel. Mark 5:6. It's the story of the man that was tormented with demons. He was full of demons. He had issues. And this guy, nobody could help him. Because when they try and bind him, he would break off. So nobody could help him. And they just left him. He was by himself in the tombs. But the Bible says that a man full of demons, when he saw Jesus from afar, what did he do? He ran to Jesus and he worshipped with all his issues. And I'm like, how does someone full of demons, who's mad, who's been cast away, nobody can help, how does he know to run to Jesus to worship? I don't know how he knew, but whatever your issues might be, there's some of us that we have issues in our lives and we think, this issue, I just have to live with it. I have to manage it. It might be a mental health issue. It might be depression. It might be an addiction. It might be a habit that you've tried everything, but you can't get loose from it. The place of worship is the place of freedom. As you worship, as you go into a lifestyle of worship, freedom would come in the name of Jesus. Some people are bound. They want to be free from addictions, whatever it might be. The place of worship is the place of freedom. And I pray that indeed you'll be free indeed in Jesus' name. Someone might be thinking, well, all these examples are people with issues. I don't really have any issues, so this doesn't relate to me. And I think of Peter in Luke 5. The story is in Luke 5, 1 to 11. Peter was pretty much all right. He was married, so it wasn't like he was looking for a spouse. He had a career. He was a fisherman. He knew what he thought was his calling. And Peter's just living his life as best as he can. But then Peter has an encounter with God. And I love that definition of worship that someone gave earlier, that worship is your response to God's awesomeness. In verse 8, after Peter has this encounter with God, you see him worship. It wasn't with a song, but he responded to God's awesomeness. The Bible says when he saw that catch, and it was so amazing, that Peter fell at Jesus' feet. And he said, I'm a sinner. Go away from me. He worshipped. He had to respond to this awesome God. But what happened to Peter after that? Peter, who thought he was a fisherman. Peter, who would have died a fisherman. There was revelation. Jesus said to him, that's not who you are. That's not who I made you to be. I would make you fishers of men. You might think you have it all sorted out. You might think this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. But the place of worship, because it's a place of intimacy with God, it's a place of revelation. It's where God would say, daughter, this is who I made you to be. It's where God would say, son, don't do that. Go this way. And I pray that every single one of us, that our lifestyles would be from this day lifestyles of worship, that it won't be about worshiping God from afar. You know, you go throughout the Bible and you see the Bible talking about the multitudes following Jesus, the multitudes following Jesus. Before this encounter, Peter was one of those multitudes looking at Jesus from afar, but worship brought him close. He became intimate with Jesus. And his life was never the same. He stepped into purpose. As you worship, somebody is going to step into purpose. As you worship, somebody is going to start to fulfill God's purpose and plans for their lives. As you worship, somebody is going to move away from disaster and a wasted life and be everything that God has called you to be. This is the power of worship. This is the power of worship. And remember, it's not a night of worship, not just a night of worship, but an eternity of worship. So I want to encourage you, continue worshiping God. Continue drawing close to him. We've talked today about how we help each other, how we can support each other, how we can encourage each other. Be in a growing church. Have friends that are believers. Let iron sharpen iron. Pray together. Study together. And as you do these things, you would grow. You would get more intimate with God. So again, the word that I believe God has for every single one of us is it going to be an eternity of worship? And I pray that every single one of us in here, from the youngest baby to the oldest, that we would be there in eternity. You know how we've worshiped and we've jumped, that we would do that in God's throne room in the name of Jesus. So I want us to pray. And we've had an altar call, but I believe strongly that there's still some people that we need to pray for. So if you're here and maybe you've given your life at some point, you've believed, you've accepted God, but it's been a struggle. You've struggled with all sorts. Maybe you're like the prodigal who needs to come home. You know that song that we listened to? It said, the father is there with open arms. And God is just saying, come home, my daughter. Come home, my son. It's not God's will for us that we struggle and struggle. That's why he said, I would send the Holy Spirit to be your helper. When the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me, when the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, he equips us, he empowers us to be effective witnesses. He empowers us. He equips us to be everything that God has called us to be. Addictions would go in the place of worship. All those things that we have struggled and battled with, they would break. They would be broken. There's freedom. Freedom in the place of worship. And there's power when we pray together. So if you're here and you want us to pray together, maybe in some area you have struggled. In some area you're needing strength from God. Maybe you're needing a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit so that you would not struggle anymore. So that like Peter, you can work in purpose. I want to encourage you to come forward. And it would be my joy to pray with you. I encourage you to come forward. And as you come forward, I know that God would lay his hands on you and the struggle would be over, in that God would help you. God would strengthen you. The Holy Spirit, your helper, would step beside you and help you on this journey. So if you want to pray, you want us to pray together, please step forward and let's pray together. And I know that your life would not be the same in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're our helper. Your children are standing before you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Father, my prayer for your children is that you fill them with your spirit. That you fill them with your spirit. That you fill them with your spirit. We're going to sing some songs as a prayer. And if you're out here in front, I want you to lift up your hands and sing with all your heart. And as we sing, the Holy Spirit would fill you. He would empower you. And by his grace, your life would never be the same in the name of Jesus. Fill my heart, Lord, with your spirit, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your power, Lord. Fill my heart, Lord, with your fire that I can control, that I can contain. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. It's a very simple song. Just sing it with all your heart. Lift your hands up.
That I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I need more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Lord, I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more.
Standing here tonight, Holy Spirit, I pray that you feel every single one of them. Father, I pray that every area in which they have struggled in the past, that Holy Spirit, you would be their helper, you would be their strength, you would be their guide in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray where in the past they have quenched you, where in the past they have struggled with sin, with addiction, with whatever it might be. Holy Spirit, I pray that you help them. I pray that these ones, they would live in the Spirit and they would walk in the Spirit. I decree that these ones, that strength from above every day would be their portion in the name of Jesus. I decree, Father, for your children, that without exception, every single one of them, that they would fulfill your purpose for them in their generations in the name of Jesus. Father, I decree that the enemy would not have say or way in their lives anymore in the name of Jesus. I decree that victory is theirs in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that the grace, the will, everything that they need to stay connected to the Holy Spirit, to stay obedient to the Holy Spirit, to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit, Father, that you would grant to them in the name of Jesus. I decree, because the Bible says we will decree a thing and it would be established. I decree concerning every single one of you, I decree that you would be everything God has called you to be in the name of Jesus. I decree that you would make an impact in your generation in the name of Jesus. I decree that even as God has said concerning you, that you're his masterpieces. I decree that the good works that he's ordained for you to do, that you would do in the name of Jesus. And above all, for you, I decree that at the end of it all, that God would look at you and say, well done. And Father, I pray for every single one of us that is here in Inhale 2018. Father, once again, I pray that none of us would be found wanting in your kingdom in the name of Jesus. I pray that even as we've had a night of worship, that without exception, we would have an eternity of worship in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise because we know that you have heard us and you have done even more than we have asked. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's scream.